Matthew chapter 4. Brother Lepper, I needed you today at chapel with me because I preached on that. Oh, I tell you, right when you need somebody, they always let you down. You should have known that I was preaching that. I preached out at the seminary today and taught out there, and I actually preached on David, what God saw. And so anyway, we're going to start a new series on Wednesday night. So we are going to be talking about the subject, work on your casting. Work on your casting. And basically what we're going to do, we're going to go through the Bible and look at the word casting. And by the way, I love doing a word study. And it's amazing the things that you can see in the Bible when you study a word. And this word's very unique, and we'll look at that tonight. The first one is in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers." Boy, what a job to have, right? What a job to be a fisher, but we'll talk about that. It wasn't for pleasure, right? Most people in these days didn't fish for pleasure like they do today. This is for a living. This is how they made their livelihood. But notice what it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of his brother, which they were called the Sons of Thunder. And it says, sounds like me and my brother. And in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Let's pray, and then we'll talk about work on your casting. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight, Lord, and ask that you would help us as we study this word and this subject. And God, that you would give us clarity of thought. And Lord, I pray that you would just take away any distractions that may be in our minds and in our way tonight. And I pray that you just help me to have liberty. I pray that your Holy Spirit tonight would just be that one that would go about in this auditorium and, Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, just give us, Lord, just that understanding that we need. And God, I ask that you help us not be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And Father, we ask your blessings upon those who travel here tonight and those who will be traveling home. I just pray that you keep them safe on the roads. Bless your time now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word casting in the Greek means to throw or to let go of a thing without caring where it falls. That's actually what the Greek lexicon said. That sounds a lot about like my net casting. Here just really a couple years ago, I learned how to cast a net. I watched Caleb, I watched Joshua, they were the ones that I watched, and they learned it from Terry. But I'd sit there and I'd watch them cast the net when we was catching shad, and that's really what they did in the times of Jesus. They used a net. They didn't use a rod and reel, but they used a cast net, and they would stand on the shore, cast, or if they had a boat, they would go out and they would cast out into the waters, and it would be a toiling thing. We know because that's the Bible, Scripture tells us that. But I can tell you this, that casting a net, I learned the hard way, is all about repetition. The more you do it, the better you get at it. It's just like any other thing in this life. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And these guys that were called to be disciples were fishermen in this story. Is that we see these four guys that Jesus comes by the seashore there, and he calls these four guys. And the Bible says that he told them in verse 19, he told Peter and Simon, he said, "I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men." And I think today is that as God was choosing the 12, as he was choosing men who would be the ones who would carry on the ministry and would help him do the Father's business, I believe that he was looking for men with specific skills. And he found these guys fishing. I read this today. I thought it was great. He says, and this is from Brother Sexton's book. He said, talked about fishing for fish. He said, taking something alive and making it dead. That's what happened to some fish in my life yesterday. I caught them, we killed them, we cooked them. That's the best way to do it, right? But here's what he was going to do. Fishing for souls is taking something that's dead and making it alive. Folks, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest tasks that we have as a Christian is winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but I just want to share it with you one more time. Is that what if you had the cure for cancer? What would you do with it? Well, I would hope everybody in here would share it and we'd have a cure for cancer. But how would it be if you kept that and you put it in your safe and you locked it up and said, I'm going to hold on to that because I may need it one day. That would be selfishness. But listen, as a Christian, you have been saved from the pits of hell. You have been saved from the wrath of God Almighty. You have been saved from sin. You are no longer of Adam's race. You are of the second Adam's race. And God has raised you from to be dead to be alive. You who were dead in trespasses and sin hath He quickened you. Hey, listen, He has saved you. And our job is to do what? To tell others. Now listen, I'm not pointing the finger at you because I'm not a good soul winner either. I'm nowhere where I should be. And I want to do a better job of telling others. And listen, we got to work on our casting. And as these fishermen would go out and they would cast this net. I remember the first time, the first time I ever used a net, it was like 12 degrees outside. Great time to learn, right? And I remember standing in front of the boat, and of course, I watched Joshua do it, and then I watched YouTube. Hello, thank God for that. If they had YouTube when I was young, I'd be a doctor right now. But it'd be a dangerous one, but anyway, you can learn everything. But I remember I cast, and boy, it wouldn't open up. I was like, you know, and I'd cast out there, and it would half open up. But you know what? The more I got used to knowing how to hold it in my hand and you know, fold it up, and there's a certain way you got to do everything, and a certain way that you cast and you let go of it. And, of course, I'm left-handed, so nobody could really teach me because everybody else is backwards, you right-handers. And so I was casting that net, and I you know, the more I did it, the more that I saw, man, it started up, and I started catching shad. I was like, woo, hallelujah to that. But the more you do something, the better that you get at it. And listen, that's the way it is about telling others about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I forget tracks all the time. And the more I forget, the harder it is to get back to passing tracks out. I was sitting on an airplane not too long ago, and I flew up to Ohio, and I was thinking, I'm taking tracks of me, and I did. I took tracks of me. You know what? I was glad I did, because the man I sat beside me asked about our church. And, of course, he was saved and went to Prestonwood Baptist Church over here in Dallas. But I was able to give him a track. And I was thinking, you know what? Normally that wouldn't happen a lot of times for me. And trying to get better at that. And the more you do it, the better that you get. But I want to get into tonight of this. Is that the Jesus really, if you read Matthew chapter 5, of course, that's the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was basically to the disciples. He took them up into a mountain and sat around. It said that He talked to them. In other words, He trained them. He taught them about the kingdom living, about right living, and things like that. And we're going to look at some of that here in a little bit. But listen, this is what happened, is that Jesus called them. They forsook all, and they followed Him, and God trained them. The Lord Jesus trained them. But what does it take? What do we need to work on tonight of casting the net for souls? Listen, there's lost people everywhere. Amen? And it's getting easier to figure out who they are. Just look who they're voting for in the yard sign. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, seriously, it doesn't take long to get out in this world and to see people who will just flat tell you they don't know Jesus and they don't want to know Jesus. I was just talking to a family in our church, and we were talking about our fathers have a similar story. And he was telling me how he witnessed to his father. And even on his deathbed, and his dad just looked at him and said, nope, not doing that. Boy, there are some people out there that are hardened, but what do you do? Do you just quit? No, you just kind of keep casting the net. I'll give you three things tonight about casting the net that we need to work on. Number one, we're going to see this in the disciples' life here. Jesus calls them. He's going to use their profession. He says, hey, I know you've been fish, but now I'm going to teach you to fish for souls. And He says there's some things you're going to have to work on. Number one, we see their compassion. You realize that there's a difference between concern and compassion. I can be concerned about something and go, right? Or I can have compassion, right? Compassion, and that's what our sign over there, some have compassion making a difference. In other words, hey, listen, compassion should be a verb in our life. It should be an action word in our life. Just like faith is an action word. Faith is putting feet to what you believe in, and the same to compassion. We can have, when Jesus had compassion upon the multitude, He didn't go, well, good luck to them. Right? We're going to see that. Matthew chapter 9 says, and verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Chapter 14, verse 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. Matthew 15, 32 says, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. We see that in Matthew 20, 34, he says, so Jesus had compassion on them. You say, why are you reading all that? Because this is how they learn compassion. They spent time with the Master, and the more they spent time with the Master, the more that they saw that he had compassion, and his compassion moved him toward that multitude. Listen, the reason we lose our compassion for lost people is because we don't spend enough time with the Master. When we're not walking with somebody, you ever notice this? When you hang around somebody, you pick up their isms. Hello? That's why you have to be careful who you hang around. I can tell you a few of our staff's isms, and they can tell you a few of my isms. But you know, I realize that sometimes Brody will come home and he'll say words. Like, where is that? He went through this phase of using the word, dude, drive me nuts. I was over at school one day and I realized every kid in the school was using the word, dude. And, you know, they're on Fortnite and I hear them in there, dude. I'm like, quit using that word. That's a Yankee word. So anyway, it's not. I'm just saying. But I was thinking, you know, who you hang around is who you become like. Hey, listen, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like my Master. I want to, and the more I walk with Him, the more I spend time with Him, the more I'm going to be like Jesus. The more I hang out with the world, guess who I'm going to be like? The world. If you ever watch too, our kids pick up our isms, don't they? That's scary sometimes, isn't it? I told Daniel one time, I said, Brody just irritates me. She said, you know why? Because he's just like you. I said, I know. I know. We're just alike, right? No, I love that kid. Jude 1:22 says, and some have compassion. I just read it, making a difference. Folks, I want to make a difference. I see the second thing they needed to work on was their calling. Look over Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Their calling. By the way, as Christians, we have the same calling. Number one is to be salt of the earth. Number two is to be the light of the world. Notice what he told them. He says, he's speaking to his disciples here. You see that in verse 1 of chapter 5. But verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall he be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot. Ye are the light of the world. He didn't say that you have an option. He says you are. You're either a good light or a bad light. You're either good salt or you're bad salt, but you are. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. And it giveth light thereunto, unto what? To all that are in the house. Listen, you're going to affect people's lives. You should be effective in reaching people where you are. Why? Because if you're light and you're salt, people are drawn to that. People are drawn to light, just like bugs. I used to, when I was with the fire department, man, you turn on a blue light or a red light somewhere, people come out of everywhere looking what you're doing. And the same with police. What are you doing? That's why we have what we call rubberneck wrecks. We'd be working a wreck here. And that's when you go like this. And that's why you park your fire truck in a strategic place so you don't get hit. Why? Because people are watching. Why? Because we're attracted to light. But listen, hey, the world out there is waiting on some true Christians to be light and salt of the earth. I'm not their judge. I'm not the one who's going to put the gavel down one day. Listen, I'm the one who has the gospel message. I'm the one who has the cure for their sin. I'm the one who God has entrusted me to be light and salt in this earth. And that's what we should be. Listen, Jesus was saying, you need to work on your calling. Your calling is to be light and to be salt in this earth. Folks, I don't know about you, but there's some days I don't want to be light. Amen. Hello? Okay, it's just me. I preach to me. So Wiggins, anyway, there's days that you do just want to be light. And Wiggins, there's days you want to be pepper and not salt, you know? I don't even know if that's scriptural, but I mean, there's just days where I've just had it up to here with people. Hello. I know I'm the only one. I'm preaching myself, and I'll get to the altar here in a minute. Brother Leper's going to sing the invitational song. I'll just come down here. I'll tell you, I get that way sometimes. I just get fed up. But you know what? You know why that is? It's because I've not spent time with the Master. I've not allowed Him to put His light into my life. And listen, we don't get light by just going, just by being born in this world. God gives us that light. And God gives us the light of the glorious gospel to shine into those who Satan hath blinded the minds of them. Listen, the only cure for our world is not Republican. It's not all the things that we think it is. It is Jesus Christ. If we get out there, yeah, we ought to get out and vote, but we ought to do more than vote. We ought to get out there and tell people about Jesus. And listen, I'm not even asking you to come Tuesday night, Saturday. I'm just asking you where you are to be salt and light. If all of us, and I'm pointing my fingers back at me, trust me, I'm the guilty one here also, is that if all of us would be salt and light where we are, we wouldn't have to have Tuesday night and Saturday. I could go home to my family. But a lot of us, we get distracted. Hello, me? I preached this even this morning. I believe one of our biggest downfalls in America today is that we are so busy. And why are we so busy? We have more technology today. One thing David had to do, if you're in my sensitive class, you know this, but one thing David had to do between the time that he was anointed to the time that he ever took the throne was 15 years. Hello? 15 years. It's a long time. But God had to do some preparing in his life. And by the way, that preparing wasn't all good either. It was a time where not only was Saul trying to take his life, not only was a giant trying to take his life, but God was doing some training in his life. Hey, listen, one thing that we are today is that we want to get married, have kids, and have everything our parents had in 30 years of marriage in a year. That's it. I'm the world's worst. I put a Pop-Tart or not a Toaster Schuler in the thing. I'm like, oh my soul, this thing is taking forever. What in the world? I could have put it in the oven. Those little Totino's pizzas. I love those things. There's nothing real about them, but I love them. You can leave it in the cardboard box and eat it, and it still tastes the same. But I hate putting those things in the oven. But you can't put it in the microwave. It turns out you roll it up like a burrito then. Nasty. It's got to be crispy. You know, you got to get that box crispy. You know? But even the other day, this is me. I pulled up at the QT and I was putting gas in my truck. And that thing was gone. I literally got $5 of gas and left. I was like, I'm going to be here all day. Really and truly, I probably would have been there probably 2 minutes. No, I was at Bucky's. I was actually at Bucky's the other day. And I got convicted, so I went to another pump still at Bucky's. Because they got like 100 of them. And I found one that was faster. And I figured it out. If somebody's on the other side of you getting gas, it slows you down. Don't ever do that. Get one that somebody's not on the other side siphoning your gas out of your side. And I was over there. I mashed that thing. And it was like, I'm going to be here all day. I've got to get 20-something gallons of gas. I'm going to be here like 3 minutes if I don't hurry up. You know? And of course, at Bucky's, you can't. It's too far to walk. You know, I'm too lazy to walk from the pumps to the, you know. Anyway, I'm just lazy like that. But I was thinking, I got back in my truck. I was like, I'm leaving. And I thought, how sad is this? That I couldn't wait 3 minutes on a pump to pump gas in my vehicle. But that's the way we are, isn't it? And all the while, there's people dying and going to hell all around us. All around us. I remember the day when it was AOL Internet. Go log in. Choo, choo, choo. Come back. You know, you go do whatever, come back, and you may be logged in so you can check your email. For that one email that was so important that says, you've won $1 million. All you have to do is claim this from Bahajahawakahawa, you know? I'm like, I didn't win nothing. You're lying to me, but I could be serious, you know? And you realize that you really haven't won anything. Oh, you know those emails that I'm talking about. But listen, is it that way we are? We just want it like this right now. We want everything faster. And listen, sometimes we have to slow down and remember that our calling as a child of God is to be salt and to be light. And it's hard to do that when you don't recognize those around you. And I'm telling you, I'm right there with you guys. Let me give you the last thing tonight that they had to work on. And this is where we come to of our series, their casting. You see, you can't catch fish if you don't go fishing. That was genius. I wrote that down. I thought that was genius. But everybody else was like, yeah, good job, buddy. Learned that in kindergarten, you know? I mean, I thought it was pretty. I was going to put that up on the screen, but figured that was just too much for y'all to handle in one night. But, you know, you can't catch fish if you don't go fishing. And Lord knows I know that. You know, I can sit at home and I can complain about the world, or else I can get outside and go fishing. And I can go outside and I can get into the world and listen, be salt and light and tell people about Jesus Christ. Churches have stopped casting nets. Our churches today are dying out. Why? Because we quit casting the nets out. Why? Because it is a labor intensive. We're going to talk about that also. But listen, we must cast nets. And that's one thing I love about Heritage Baptist Church. Fall Fest, let's cast nets out. For a Roundup Sunday, let's cast nets out. Hey, listen, for all these things, let's cast nets out. And I love the pastor saying, hey, we got to keep casting nets out. Listen, there's sometimes you're going to cast that net out and you're going to set the net and you're going to pull the net in. It's going to be nothing but nothing. Or if you're like me, I can catch a stick better than anybody. But there's going to be sometimes you cast that net out there and there's going to be souls in there. You ever thought about this? Is that the Bible says that when a sinner repents that they rejoice in heaven? Whew. Wouldn't you tonight want heaven to be rejoicing? Because one sinner repented, one sinner got right with the Lord. They're casting. They needed to work on their casting. What is it about fishing in the Bible days? Not today. Fishing is enjoyable today for the most part. We took Brody out deep sea fishing a couple years ago, and we were catching red snapper. I mean, some big old red snapper. And Brody was a little bit smaller, so the guy's like, he may fall over. And I was thinking, that'd be cool to watch. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm being serious. But the guy said, hey, I have a reel for you, son. Come here. He had a reel that had a button that you mash, and it reels it in for you. Man, I was like, that is so sissy. You're a sissy, son. About two red snapper into it, I was like, can I borrow that reel? You know? I was thinking, man, that would be nice. But listen, when we go out fishing, it's not for, I don't have to do it to live. I don't have to do it to make a living. I go out there to enjoy it and to spend time with my family and things like that. Hey, listen, I love fishing, but I don't go out there going, hey, if we don't catch anything, we're done. We're going to have to sell the house. We're going to have to sell everything we have if we don't catch fish. The disciples, especially Peter and James and John, and Andrew, if they didn't catch fish, listen, that was their livelihood. Here's what it was about there. Their fishing to them, it was labor intensive. Very labor intensive. You know what they didn't have back then? 150 motors on the back of their boats. Trolling motors. Those fancy TVs that they put in them now that say, fish here. Water depth is this. Right? They didn't have way markers, you know, that you could mash and say, hey, this is where they would just had known these things. They had to work at it. I remember the day when there was no fish finder thing on my boat. I remember the day when there was no motor on the back of the boat. We paddled in the swamps of Florida with a stick. It was time consuming. You remember when Jesus came to his disciples and it said they had toiled all night, caught nothing. It took time. And by the way, if you're going to win souls, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, it's going to be time consuming. You're going to have to give up some time. That maybe you don't go and take that break at your work. Maybe that during that time you spend time speaking to others about Jesus Christ. I don't know. I'm just saying is that it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. The third thing, it was sometimes disappointing too. Not every time we go out do we see souls. I believe the fourth thing, it takes persistence, doesn't it? Can't give up. When we were in Burnet, I was training one of our guys going out soul winning. And Burnet down there was not as hard as it is here. It was a little easier, I guess. But we went out, was knocking a door in an area. And I was like, man, this area here has always been good. We've always seen people saved here, you know. And the young man I was taking with me, I was like, you know, we should see somebody saved today. Let's just pray. Man, 3 weeks into this thing, we didn't even have nobody want to talk to us. And I remember him looking at me. He says, preacher, he says, does this really work? You know what I said? No, let's quit. Let's go eat. No, I didn't say that. I said, you know what? We just got to keep going. He said, all right, preacher. He said, I trust you. Went out that next time. I never forget this. Went to the door, and it was an 18-year-old man or boy that opened the door. And I said, hey, I'm from Victory Baptist Church and just in your neighborhood. He said, oh, my soul, I can't believe you're here. He said, my grandmother's been telling me about Jesus and that I need to get saved. And she's given me this thing called a track. He said, I didn't understand it. He said, would you take time and show me? Yes, I will. Led that young man to the Lord. And I remember our young man that was with me. He goes, we going out tomorrow too? I mean, he was ready to go. Why? Because, yeah, it does take persistence. And listen, it has to be done. I believe the last thing is that the work was not done whenever they caught fish. Guess what? They had to take care of the nets. They had to take care of the fish. Listen, when we win souls to the Lord, we're not done with them. Don't just say, well, we got them down the aisle, got them in baptism. That's not it. You got to disciple them. You got to take time. Keep casting. Keep casting. The more you cast, guess what? The better it'll be. The more chances you'll have of seeing souls saved in your life. I was thinking of this the other day. You'll have people sometimes ask you, hey, would you go by and witness to so-and-so? And that's a great thing. But what would it be like is that if we were the ones that people were calling and saying, hey, would you go by and speak to them? Would you go by and speak to my family members? Would you go by and do this or whatever? But wouldn't it be great if they just heard the gospel from you too? Listen, I'll go by and see anybody. But I believe we ought to be salt and light. Too many times you go by and you visit people and you're like, hey, oh yeah, I know so-and-so at your church. Man, they go to your church? I hate when people say that. I'm like, no, they don't go there no more. They, you know, there's some people you're like, I don't know about them. But, you know, they're like, wow, they go to your church? Huh. Is that the kind of people you have at your church? I'm like, yeah, we have humans at our church. We have people that mess up in our church. We have associate pastors that messes up in our church. But you know what we have at our church? We have a God that forgives us. And God that is willing to forgive you. Listen, it's not about what Brother Leper does or what I do necessarily. It's what he did. Now, we're to be salt and light. Listen, don't get me wrong. I tell parents all the time, one of the greatest things your kids can see from you is the grace of God. See God in your life, and God has to forgive all of us, and God has to work in all of our life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be a better soul winner. I just want to keep working on my casting. And listen, I do a horrible job at it, and I've just let the things of the world just get in the way of me witnessing to people, and I'm trying to get back at it. I'm trying to get better at it. I just want to encourage you guys and ladies here tonight, look, witness to those around you. Be salt and light to them. But there are people dying and going to hell all around us. When I get to heaven, the only thing I'm going to be able to take there are souls that were won to the Lord. I'm not going to take this suit. I'm not going to take my wallet with me. But I can take somebody else with me. How sad would it be that if we would just all tonight be happy with just being saved and didn't really care about nobody else? You say, well, I'm glad my family's saved. Well, that's not good enough for me either. Because you know what? Your family. If we have compassion, everybody matters to us. Whether they're white, black, green, yellow, whoever they are, small, whatever they may be, God loves them. I want to make a difference in this world. Hey, listen, just keep casting. Don't get discouraged. I know sometimes it's hard not to. It's like, you know what? I've witnessed to them 100 times. I've prayed for my father for over 25 years. I've witnessed to my father. My children have witnessed to my father. My father's still not saved. You think I'm giving up? Oh, no. I just keep sliding it in there. The maddest my father's ever been at me. I had first just got called into the ministry on fire for the Lord, and I said, I'm going to win my dad to the Lord. That's the attitude you ought to have. I left tracks all in his house. My dad was so mad. Maybe I shouldn't have left 100 of them, okay? No, it wasn't that many. But, you know, it was like 2 months later, he was still fine to them. Calling me, what are these things all over the house you left everywhere? I said, I love you, Dad, praying for you. Hang up. He was mad. But I was thinking, I got to do all I can. Listen, J. Frank Norris used to say this, I'll do anything to keep a man out of hell. And that ought to be our goal tonight. Just keep casting. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us, Father. And thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you that we've heard the gospel. Lord, tonight I pray that, Lord, you'd help me to be a better soul winner. Lord, help me to be more soul conscious than ever before. Lord, help us all tonight. Lord, just to witness to those whom you put in our path. And Lord, just help us to just share the love of Jesus with them. Lord, how he died for them on the cross. And Father, I pray tonight that all of us would work on our casting. Lord, that we, Lord, as we just be persistent. Lord, we just stay with it. Lord, see the results. Lord, maybe not even here, but Lord, one day in heaven we'll see what you have done in people's lives. Lord, I love you tonight and ask that you bless this time of invitation. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 153.